mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. In that same letter, hear the words of the Apostle Paul, originally to Timothy and eventually to us, words that come from God through Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Leading into that text today, the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy, whom he called his true child in the faith and his beloved child, that Timothy had observed Paul's teaching and his conduct, that he had observed as well the persecutions that Paul endured consequent to his teachings and conduct, even as it will be typical for those who live a godly life in Christ Jesus to be persecuted. Now, against that background, the Apostle Paul declared that as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. That's the sort of thought with out of which humor is made, veering away from an obvious conclusion to be drawn from the material offered to a related but incongruous conclusion. But of course, the material involved is much too serious to be heard as humor. The incongruity becomes rather a delightful emphasis. Despite the temporal wisdom of the logical conclusion to be drawn, the incongruous conclusion is the eternal wisdom. Timothy had been reared with a luxuriant knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, learned at the knee of his dear mother Eunice and his saintly grandmother Lois. The latter, the law of God, learned there had long since, by the Spirit's power, convicted Timothy of his sin and of his sinfulness. But the elaborated messianic gospel there, so positively stated from the first expression of it and so gradually expanded to a fullness of promise, had by the power of the Spirit spoken effectively to Timothy. Then the day came that the Apostle Paul came to Timothy's hometown of Lystra, preaching the Messiah who had come according to promise in the person of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, declaring the saving truth that Jesus had suffered and died to be the washing away of our sins, and had risen from the dead in accordance with promise to display himself as the victorious Savior in whom there is forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. By the power of the Spirit, Timothy's faith, to a then fastened on good news yet to happen, was fastened on good news happened. And already then, Timothy witnessed the incongruity of faithfulness to Jesus, temporarily regarded. Paul, for his teaching in Lystra, had been stoned, dragged to the outskirts, and left for death. But by the grace of God, Timothy had persisted in the faith, and under Paul's tutelage, he had become a pastor. For his continued encouragement as a believer and as a pastor, Paul told Timothy to stick to what he had believed, knowing from whom he had learned. There were his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. There was Paul. But how should they be an encouragement to Timothy in the faith? There really is no further word about Lois and Eunice, except for the fact that the true and saving faith lived in them first before it came alive in Timothy. But Paul was generous enough with further information about himself. For example, in his first letter to Timothy, he had said, "I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service. So I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." It's evident that the spiritually significant people in Timothy's life were an encouragement to him, not because of their personal excellence, but because they had faithfully conveyed God's saving word to him. It's interesting, then, to observe that Paul used the words of our text verse as a lead-in to that familiar declaration about the character of the Scriptures. "From a child, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings that are able to instruct you in salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." The word which calls to salvation and is effective in those who believe is on the lips and in the lives of Lois, Eunice, Paul. And therefore, for Timothy's own encouragement in the faith, he ought always to remember from whom he learned. Each of us would have our own lips of people to remember. And Sunday school teachers, Christian day school teachers, high school instructors, youth counselors, college professors, seminary professors. Years of various stages in life. Within 6 hours, I dare say that if they are not already on the list of each of us, there will be 2 more added to that list for us all. The lecture is for our day of theological reflection. But as it was for Timothy, so it is for us. Our list of whomever it is comprised is set by measuring people's words and lives by the standard of the word. And those who are measured and not found wanting are the ones for us to remember. May God grant to each of us a growing list of such people to call to remembrance as an encouragement from him for our persistence in the faith. Amen.